cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening. Yes, there you go. Got it. Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 26th day of January 2024. We got it. And tonight, our producer isn't Kane, it's not Abel, but it is Seth. Hey, Seth.
Hello, sir.
All right, we got Seth here. And then way out yonder, down where the tall people go in Texas, with his 10-gallon hat, none other than the one and only Big John McTernan.
Thank you, Pastor Ernie. God bless you and all our listeners. Hey, the state that's defending America.
Yeah, I know. But boy, John, I tell you what, I really feel like I should go down there and get and join the guys on the border. I'm thinking about it.
Well, what do you may come to it, Pastor Ernie. I mean, I don't think Biden, well, who knows, but logically he shouldn't push this too hard because the real people in America are all against them, even Democrats.
Well, Biden has declared war on all of those, anyone who, on half of America, anyone who said it was a Trump supporter, he's called us terrorists. He's declared war on us. Alrighty. Yes. John, we finished up our scripture yesterday, so I'm going to do something a little different tonight. And I want you to, and Aaron, oh, by the way, here live in the studio, he is running for Congress in the 14th District, Aaron Gunnias.
Hello, America.
And so there you go. And so we're going to be talking to him a little bit why he wants to be congressman. And so I know what he wants to do. He wants to get up there and mix it up with AOC. That's right. AOC, no.
No more communism, no more socialism.
Yeah, we're tired of it. We're fed up. We've had enough.
We want our constitutional republic back.
Absolutely. John, we're going to do something a little different. I got this email from a lady named Vicky. Now, I'm not going to mention her last name because if I mention her last name, she would be more than likely be overrun with emails from people out there who are angry at her. And so I'm going to just say this is Vicky, and I heard she's from Michigan. And so here, she listens to us on WLQV, 1500 AM. And so now, here's what Vicky says, and I want you guys to give me your opinions and answer this with me. She says, I listened to What's Right, What's Left on WLQV, 1500 AM. At times, Pastor Ernie Sanders says words that make me feel uncomfortable and question whether I should be listening to the program. Now, let me ask you this. Is my goal to tell people what they want to hear or what they need to hear?
Well, Pastor Ernie, if you read the scriptures, the Lord himself made people uncomfortable.
Did he? They made him so uncomfortable they wanted to crucify him, huh?
Well, yeah, but he called him, the Pharisees, you whitewashed tombs, you brood of vipers. He took the whip and drove the money changers out of the temple. You know, so, I mean, that's just off the top of my head.
What about that fellow called John the Baptist?
No, oh, yeah. Well, John was, really strong.
He didn't get, he didn't please Herod, did he?
No, he did not.
He didn't please Herod's wife very much either, did he?
No, he did not, and he paid for it.
What about Barak when he got into his argument with Jezebel and her son? How did he refer to Jezebel as your whore mother? He didn't mix words, right? Was he telling?
I don't know.
Repent and make straight the way of the Lord.
What I do is mild compared to what I do.
You know, you think of Paul's writings. Paul's writings were real strong also, Pastor Ernie.
So, anyhow, she goes on to say, that makes me feel uncomfortable, and I question whether I should listen to the program or not. Pastor Ernie recently said that Jesus did not die for everybody, or everybody would be saved. John, turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 8, and I want you to start in verse 28. Okay, let's take it verse at a time, okay? Start in verse 28.
Okay, I'm there.
Go ahead and read verse 28.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose.
Okay, so to those that are what?
Called
according to his purpose.
To his purpose.
Okay.
Now, Pastor Ernie, I'd just like to stop here for a second. This verse is one of the most misquoted in that it's not completely said that I've ever heard. I mean, I oftentimes hear people's, when tragedy happens or something, they say, and we know that all things work together for good. But you got to go to the rest of the verse. To them that love God.
Yeah,
yeah.
To them
that are called according to his purpose.
Right. Now, so, here she says that, Pastor Ernie says that if God, if Jesus did not die for everybody, or everybody would be saved. So now, let me ask you this. What do you know of that God has failed at?
It's impossible for him to fail.
Okay, so now, was it God's will that any come short of the glory and go to hell?
No, man rebelled against God and took himself on the road to hell. And God is in the purpose, he's in the, his ministry, or if that's the right word, is to save people from hell.
All right, so was his blood...
Through Jesus Christ.
Was his blood a sufficient atonement for the entire population, for all the sins, past, present, and future?
Yes.
So it was. His blood was now... Then why... did Jesus say everybody was going to get saved, or did Jesus say many are called but few are chosen, many will come but few will enter?
Narrow is the gate.
Right. Now,
right, Pastor Ernie. So right, because man... You could say man's will is in the way there. Man loves sin.
So if Christ had... The Pope said that Christ failed at Calvary, that he failed.
That's outrageous.
Okay.
I forgot about that. Yeah, you brought that back to memory. That is outrageous.
Okay, so now, here, let's read, because we're talking about who did Christ die for. He makes it. He doesn't... It's spelled out here, right here. Read verse 29.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
So these are the people that God has gone to heaven and has a mansion. The Lord Jesus referred to, my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare you a place. Now, did he prepare a place for everybody?
No, Pastor Ernie, for those that would believe on him as their Savior.
So was his blood applied to everybody?
No. The blood is applied to those that believe in Jesus Christ. Again, it all boils down to the confession of faith, and that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior.
Did Christ know who would receive him and who would reject him? Did he know that?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so then, if he knew that they were going to reject him, would he die for them? You see, here's the point. The point is, did God ever fail at anything? Did he fail? What has he failed at? He hasn't failed at anything. So if he had died specifically for the people that he died for, he makes it clear who they are. But if he had died for everybody, everybody would get saved. Now, the Pope says there is no hell. Okay. I got to take issue with that, right? But there are people out there that believe that. As many of the Seventh-day Adventists believe that. People believe many sound bites instead of
what the Word of God says.
Right. They're not right. They're not. They don't know. They're not rightly dividing by precept by precept. Now listen. He goes on. So for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. Moreover, for whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he glorified. So he died for those that he did predestinate. He died for those that he called. He died for those that he justified. And he died for those that he glorified. And those are the people that will go to heaven and spend eternity in heaven. Is that what we just read?
Yes.
Okay, so she goes on to say, let me see. Pastor Ernie recently gave an X-rated description of a prostitute and her upper body nudity. Apparently he was standing near her speaking to her. Well, there were 12 of us pastors in Columbus at a sodomite parade, one of the worst sodomite parades I've ever seen. And these were not prostitutes. These were young Democratic women who approached us during this sodomite parade, and they were topless, okay? Their leader, who was physically attractive, she could have been a model, okay? She approached us, and she fondled herself, and she said, I bet you old guys would like some of this, okay? And so in her nipples, on her breast, she had these little chains that were sticking out. So when she came up and said that because she addressed me, I said, no, thanks. And I said, they look booby-trapped to me because they had chains in them, okay? Hosts, excuse me, Vicky, if I have a little bit of a sense of humor, but right, but yes, we did give them gospel tracts, but more than that, the float was coming, the AIDS float was right at that time when they came up there. The AIDS float came, and I pointed it out. I said, "Look over there." Now these guys were actually gray. What I'm telling you, you had to see this. They were gray. They were not. They looked like ghosts, and this was all of these guys that had AIDS. And I says, what do you see? She said, well, that's the AIDS float. I said, were you here last year? She said, yeah. I said, what's the difference between this year and last year? And she looked over there for a minute, and she looked back. She said, well, there's a lot less of them. I said, what happened? She said, well, they died. And I said, they went to hell. They went to hell. The Bible says when you die in your sin, you burn in hell. And that's what God has said, right? And so I gave her... we gave them all gospel tracts, and all the pastors witnessed to different ones. But they, and we all expected that they would walk a couple feet away and then wrinkle them up and just throw them on the ground. They didn't. They walked about 50 feet away, stopped, got in a circle, and every one of these young topless girls read the gospel tracts. They read the tracts. They stood there for quite a while, okay? John, does God's word return void?
Never, Pastor Ernie.
Never.
It'll either soften the heart or harden the heart, but it doesn't return void.
That's right.
Ernie, is that legal to be exposed like that in public?
Yeah. Not only that, you had a strip club. Strip club. You had a float, and you had the people, the politicians, the Democratic politicians there in Columbus, the mayors and the whole bunch, and they were in a convertible. But you had this float behind them, and you had these women, probably half a dozen, stark naked. The only thing they wore was high heel shoes. That's it.
Jeez.
That's it. High heel shoes, okay? And this is the
when was this?
Oh, this was, that was probably 10 years ago. We were preaching at that. Dr. Maness was with us, and a number of the pastors, the Baptist, UBF pastors, was about 10 or 12 of us. And so here, she goes on to say, Pastor Ernie has been heard on the radio at least one time calling a human being a fool. Well, I've given you some Bible verses there, Aaron. Would you read those Bible verses that I give you?
Proverbs 14:9, fools mock at sin.
Okay. What do these people do, like Bill Ayers and that, or Klaus Schwab, or Joe Biden, or lately the Pope? What do they do when we preach in the gospel? What is their response?
Silence them.
They're mocking the word of God. They're mocking sin. Read the next one.
Proverbs 15:5, fools despiseth instruction.
Do you want to comment on that, John?
Yeah, if you give them the truth from the Word of God, they'll generally just mock, laugh at it, try and make fun of you, attack you personally. So if you're trying to give them life-saving instruction, the gospel of Jesus Christ, most of them respond with the mocking.
Right. They refuse to receive it.
Now, I don't think that's the case with Vicky here. I think Vicky here is just not that mature in the Word of God, okay? And by what she's writing here. So go ahead, read some others.
Proverbs 17:21, a father of a fool has no joy.
Well, I could ask Joe Biden about that, right? And so let me ask you folks out there listening, would you say there's at least 100 verses there referring to fools?
Proverbs is full of it. Full of fools.
Okay, well, I handed Aaron about I believe close to 100 verses. Would you say probably close to 100 verses? Okay, now here.
Now, Pastor Ernie, who says there is no God?
A fool.
A fool says there is no God.
Only now, a fool says in his heart there is no God.
She says Ernie has been heard on the radio at least calling at least one human being a fool. Well, I never called a dog or a cat or a horse a fool, okay? I've only called those human beings, yeah. Now, she says this, often use called people derogatory and demeaning names like Nasty Pelosi instead of Nancy Pelosi. Well, Vicky, if you had been with me and 14 other pastors at the pastor's conference where we had to watch because they wanted us to know what was taking place right then in San Francisco, where we had to watch Nasty Pelosi standing 1 foot away out in the broad daylight in the middle of the street with two sodomites spare naked performing sodomy on each other. And Nancy Pelosi says to these two sodomites that were performing sodomy on each other in the public, Jesus would be happy with the way you're showing love for each other. Okay? Now, Vicki, that's why I called her Nasty Pelosi, because that's a nasty woman that would do what she did. Okay? And she's done other things than that. Okay? Even worse. Now, let me go on to here to see. She says, let's see. She says, okay, recently Pastor Ernie was off for sick leave. Sorry he was sick and hope he is fully recovered. Really, Vicki, I don't really think you do. But it was such a relief during this time for Pastor Ernie was off because Pastor Joe Larson was speaking and preaching and teaching on the program, and it was I enjoyed it very much, okay? Pastor Joe kept it clean. Well, what Vicki doesn't realize is Pastor Joe uses the very same rhetoric that I do. We've been together probably for over 30 years or more, probably 40 years, and that's why he's on the program. He hosts it with me. We're on the same page, just like I am with Chaplain John here. And so let's go to some sound bites, because, you see, here's what happens. I don't know. She's probably not in a church where you get real solid Bible teaching, okay? You hear these sound bites, okay? How about this one? The Bible teaches that God loves everybody. Does the Bible teach that God loves everybody? No. Let me ask you this. Does the Bible teach that God loves all those that commit iniquity?
Certainly not, Pastor Ernie.
What does it say? It says God hates all those that commit iniquity, right? Is there a difference between love and hate?
God hates the hands that shed innocent blood.
Hates the feet that runs to mischief, right? But what about, did he not say, Jacob I loved, but
Esau
I hated. Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Did he not say that? Okay, now, but we don't read anything into that, right? I mean, we don't read into that. Well, there you go, because I've heard people say, that tells you right there, Jacob went to hell. No, don't. God's a merciful God, huh? God's a merciful God. You think God being a merciful God, okay, if people repent?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the most vile sinner, if he repents and turns to Jesus Christ as a Savior and believes he died on the cross and shed his blood, absolutely they can be forgiven.
All right. So now here, remember, now the Bible teaches hate the sin but love the sinner. The Bible doesn't teach hate the sin. The Bible teaches hate what God hates and love what God loves. That's what the Bible teaches, okay? The Bible teaches that sin is missing the mark. No, the Bible teaches that sin is the transgression of God's laws and ordinances, okay? The Bible teaches, judge not lest ye be judged, okay? Well, if you go on and keep reading, it says, but when you judge, judge with righteous judgment. Now, the Bible actually teaches that we are to judge everything, okay? Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here. Which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom, teaches, but the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You say, hold it, wait a minute. The whole world is judging us continuously, right? But their judgment means nothing. It's an empty judgment, because only God's judgment, okay, is what stands. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. And so all of these sound bites that you hear are little sound bites and quips that people don't really put into it. They don't come from our side, they come from the others, okay? And that is to twist and spin and pervert the Word of God. And it's done often very, very subtly. Very subtly, with people that are really not grounded in the faith and the Word of God, are easily deceived. And hey, Seth, take it away. We'll be back right after this.
Big John, Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear. An awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John.
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John, Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son, it was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done.
Big
Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion, heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame, but John took his place in the saints' hall of fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood when John preached repentance, he sure did it good. Baptist John. Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John. All right, we are back. And Aaron is with me here, and he thinks maybe we should pray for Vicki. Maybe we should. So let's do that. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I want to hold Vicki up. And, Lord, I just want to open her eyes to your word, the Bible. Give her a clear understanding, Lord, not on sound bites, Lord. And let her know that that here, It's what we do here is we tell people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Our job is not to tickle their ears, but to give them the truth. And because of that, it makes people angry, and that's why they martyred the apostles. That's why they crucified Christ. He wasn't telling them what they wanted to hear. That's why Isaiah was sawed in half, because he was telling them what they needed to hear and not what they wanted to hear. And so, Vicki, we're not here to tickle your ears, but so you need to get into the Bible and get to the Word of God. Less symbolism and more substance. So put your substance over the symbolism. And that's what we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Now, we're going to... Hey, John, quit making all that racket. You're making all kinds of racket. You are. Tell him, Aaron.
I can hear it.
Now he's quiet. We caught him, see? He knows. He knows. We got him. Okay. He's doing it again.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah, wait a minute.
I'll stop breathing. I'll stop breathing.
No, it's you're touching your mic or something because we're all kinds of racket comes out over here. But anyhow, so now we're gonna ask Aaron. Get ready because he wants to run for Congress in the 14th congressional district here in Ohio. So we're gonna ask him some questions, okay? And question one. Okay, priority one. What is the top priority? Issue one in with Aaron.
Well, according to the Word of God, and may I give my couple-minute spiel first, or should I?
Go ahead. Give you a couple-minute spiel.
So I'm running as an independent. I'm a constitutional conservative here in the 14th District. That's Lake County, Geauga County, most of Portage, Ashtabula, and Trumbull. First things first, I got to get on the ballot, so I'll need 3,003 signatures. Started obtaining signatures last week. And basically, pro-life, pro-family, want to get rid of all the woke in our education, the military, government agencies, restore sanity to women's sports and bathrooms, pro-Second Amendment, secure the border, end the war on police, provide reasonable liability protection so they can fight crime safely and effectively. The death penalty for fentanyl dealers, death penalty for human traffickers, restore educational system, get rid of the CRT and all the cultural Marxist erroneous history of America. For drilling, energy independence, election integrity, paper ballots, hand-counted same-day voting. And I want to restore and preserve free speech, all this censorship on big tech. That's got to end. And, I mean, just in general, I'm for life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness and restoring this blessed great nation that can be great again if we the people get together and do what needs to be done.
All right. Very, very good. So the very first commandment that God gave man was what?
Life.
Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Now, so that was the very first commandment. And the Bill of Rights, what's the very first words in the Bill of Rights? He gives us what? He guarantees us?
Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Right. So issue one is life. Our opposition, the Democrats out there, what is their plank that they're going to run in? Their number one issue is what?
Abortion.
Death. So, and Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 19, it says, I've set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore
choose life.
Life. Okay. And so,
well, I'm definitely pro-life candidate.
All right. So there now, when it comes to, let's see, what about the Second Amendment? All right. So Second Amendment, what do you think?
I'm a pro Second Amendment supporter. Every American, every legal American should have a right to defend himself and his property and his family.
When Jesus said to the apostles, it's time for you to sell your garment and buy a sword. What was he doing?
So they could defend themselves.
So they could defend each other. Okay, that was the point. He was telling them not, it wasn't to be on an offensive, but a defensive. Right, Big John? Big John? Big John?
Yes, Pastor Ernie. Yes, Pastor Ernie.
When the disciples there, when he told them to sell their garment, and that was something because cold nights, most of those guys only had one garment, and by a sword. And the idea was for self-defense and to protect each other. It was to be defensive, was it not?
Yeah, Pastor, and I believe that was the idea of the Second Amendment.
Absolutely. You know,
it's like we defend ourselves naturally. We defend our families, we defend ourselves, and we'll defend our nation. So the idea with the founders was they were giving us the right to for a weapon to defend ourselves. That was like a God-given right to them, that we naturally, by nature, defend ourselves. So in the Constitution, we were provided the means to have a weapon to defend ourselves.
So do we, right now in America today,
we're being invaded.
We're actually at war. And the enemy occupies D.C. We have the enemy in the White House, okay? And so he's the resident, not the president. The true president was Donald J. Trump. He is the legitimate president of this country.
That's right.
And so now here, so your First Amendment, you're pro-life. Your Second Amendment, your pro Second Amendment,
pro family, protect our children. We got to restore education to reading, writing, and arithmetic. No more of this sexually perverted garbage and the insanity with the sports and bathrooms.
Okay, just recently here in Ohio, two Democrats wanted to introduce legislation to pay children $500 to go to school, to go to the public schools.
That's now, ridiculous.
Their reasoning was, how are these children going to learn about which bathroom to use, which gender they are, if they're not even in school? How are they going to learn that? Now, do you think these guys had any, even the smallest linking to understand that one of the reasons there's so few of them going to the schools is because people are pulling their kids out because they don't want them indoctrinated into this political correctness, wokeness, right? And so here you would be for school choice, right? In other words, have your tax dollars go to the school of your choice, which would be Christian school or homeschooling, right?
That's correct.
Okay. What's the next issue?
The border. Secure the border. Praise God for how many, is it 10 states have sent National Guard to Texas?
No, 25.
25 support, and I think it's 10, if I read that article correctly.
That are sending them, and I was just talking to John earlier. I've really been thinking about going down there myself. Of course, I can't stay for a while, but I can broadcast from one of the big stations there that we're on.
Yeah, I might go with you.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing that.
Pastor Ernie, I obviously I'm in Texas. I follow what's going on locally in Texas. But a number of counties in Texas have declared that the state is under invasion, or their county's under invasion, and they're asking the governor to defend the state. Now, this has been going on for probably 2 years now.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many counties there are. But I'm going to say 20 that I'm aware of. There could be more that have done that.
And so, right, and we have to do that. We're under invasion from both the north and southern borders. They're coming in, too, and from the northern borders into New Hampshire, New England. And so,
plus all the drugs, the fentanyl, over 100,000 Americans dying each year. In the human trafficking and sex trafficking.
That's a declaration of war. Now, we've said it before. Joe Biden's getting his orders, his marching orders, right from the communist Chinese. Back about 2018, we had a clip. The Chinese generals talking to a large group of a huge crowd of college kids was talking about, we own the people in the highest places in government there. He was talking about the coming election that was going to be coming. We'll own, okay? And that was the
2020, right?
Election, right.
Yeah, okay. I saw that video.
But, yeah, and so here, and they
were
laughing.
God, we got to fight these communist, socialist,
and
foreign and domestic.
Right. I mean, but they were laughing at because Joe, they own Joe Biden. They own him lock, stock, and barrel, okay?
Some senators, some congressmen, too.
Oh, yeah, a number of them. So, anyhow, so his job is to keep the border open, keep a good supply of drugs coming in, to keep a good supply of children for this sex trafficking. His child did this. This is, it's wicked. It's evil. It's
this
horrible.
Administration, Pastor Ernie, did you know if you want to sponsor an adult, you need to provide financial, to prove that you can provide for the adult financially and that you're either a legal citizen or a legal citizen. And then if you want a child, you don't need to be able to prove that you can financially support the child or that you're a legal citizen. That's under the Biden, that's under the Biden administration.
So, John, people say, why are they doing this in your face? Why are they bringing in, he's losing support of even the Democrats. He's, all of these illegals in Chicago and New York, they're giving them preference. They're giving them free medical care. And they're taking away the benefits that the residents that would that have had, even putting them in the schools. And it's like, in your face, we can do whatever we want, whenever we want, and you can't do anything about it. Now, that's the tactics that our, the prison systems use. And I've had to deal with that over the years, where they've treated inmates horribly just to try to install fear in the other inmates. And so the idea, what he's doing, John, is trying to install fear into the people, saying, we're going to do what we want, when we want, where we want, and how we want, and there's nothing you could do about it. Is that the way you see it?
Yes, I see it like that. And beyond that, there's an agenda, Pastor Ernie. Why would the President of the United States and his administration allow all these, they make a mockery out of legal immigration, but why would they allow literally millions of them to come into the border like this unless they have an agenda? And their agenda is they hate America, and they want to destroy us, and they want to destroy us in many ways.
So what was it the World Economic Forum said?
The country.
America will not be a superpower.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah, China, they've decided to.
Klaus Schwab.
Right. But they didn't recognize. See, here's one of the things that they didn't recognize. See, most of these countries, they've done that before, never really knew freedom. They never really knew it, okay? So here, we've grown up spoiled in this land of freedom, where we've had these freedoms. And we're used to these freedoms. And we're not willing just to give them up, to lay down and let them roll over us. Okay,
that's right.
And so that's the difference, and that's what they're running into now.
People are waking up.
Right now, he's bringing in all, and this is their plan. They're bringing in all of these military age. They believe there's at least 45,000 Chinese nationalist soldiers, plain clothes.
Russians, Iranians.
Right, in this country now, waiting for Joe Obama to declare martial law and to try to take over. And so this is what, because, John, they know there's no way, everybody's watching them, they know that the only way they can win an election is election fraud, okay? And they know that there's too many people watching what just came out, and just recently, what we told people before about Dominion. Here, that fellow right in the courtroom showed how easy it was to switch the votes right in a courtroom. We said on the 20th of January, 20th, when we watched those votes on the election night, we watched them flip right in front of our eyes, almost right, just about at midnight, where Trump was way ahead. I'm sitting here watching the screen, and I saw him invert, just totally flip. Now, I'm not the only one that saw that. In other words, it's in your face. Who are you going to believe, the NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox News, or your lying eyes? That's the message.
It's government gangster lawlessness.
Yep, and there's a whole lot of people out there. And we're not going to just sit back and let them.
That's right.
In fact, here I got an article with Texas. This year, your Texas Attorney General explains how Democrats stole the 2020 election. And so here he says, look for the Gateway Pundit to release more on the Democrat plot in the coming days. Maybe I'll read this here, this article here a little later. So on all the issues, now here's only one issue that I would take issue with. Now, when you say the death penalty for fentanyl and the death penalty for child sex traffickers. I would agree with the death penalty in accordance with God's word, the Bible, right here. The problem of it is the Bible requires, okay, legitimate people to administer the death penalty. You see, we don't have a legitimate government. Here in Ohio, when Ohio, in the state of Ohio, executes an inmate, you simply have one criminal administering punishment to another. Our system is corrupted. We've gotten at least seven guys off of death row. I happen to know of a number of men who were executed and were innocent, never committed the crimes that they were guilty of. So if we had a legitimate government that was legitimate, I would be 100% for it.
Well, that's something to add to the list of things to do is restore justice in the prison system then.
This is what our prison system, our Department of Corrections is for the most part. Now, there are some good people in there, but for the most part, you have two groups of criminals, one in charge of the other. That's reality. I know. For 45 years, I visited those prisons on a regular basis all over, and that's the reality you have. So, am I right about that, Big John?
Absolutely, Pastor Ernie. Many of them in there are like psychopaths in the government. They're there for power, and they're there for the prestige, the name. And if they can get people found guilty, that's all they care about, this thing. Seriously. They don't care about truth or that. They just want them guilty. Make them look better. Maybe they want to run for governor, things like that. So, yes, and I believe they're psychopaths in there.
Yeah, I believe so, too. But you have a lot of they're guilty, just the corrupting. In other words, if your son committed a crime, a horrible crime, and you wanted to, and you didn't want him to go to prison, there's plenty of ways today to buy these prosecutors. All you have to do, first of all, two things: give them somebody else, give them a throwaway. Say, you know, this
we got to end the political prosecutions,
right? And I've seen this before. I've seen this happen where they say, "Look, that guy, he don't have much of a life anyhow. He's the worst. So he'd be better off in prison, and set him up. He's a throwaway." To protect your own. This is the way they do it. If you got the money, you know, it's the idea. Show me the man and I'll find you the crime. That's the idea. That's what happens today. Our system has been so corrupted. It's not like it used to be. But so how can folks help you? Because you need someone. First of all,
got to get on the ballot. So
if
yeah.
you're running as a Republican or a Democrat, how many votes do you have to get on the ballot?
If I remember correctly, I believe it's 50.
That's right, 50. But you're running as an independent, and yours is how many?
3,003.
It's hardly fair, is it?
Pretty incomparable as far as number-wise.
That means the system, what they did, is not right. There should be an independent, should have the same, the scale should be not, they should be balanced and not unbalanced the way they are. Okay. And so how can...
Anyone, everyone that's willing to help circulate some petitions for signatures, what validates a signature is you just have to be a registered voter. And so
in
if you live in
counties.
Lake County, Geauga County, all of Portage except for Suffield and Mogador, Ashtabula or Trumbull, please contact Aaron Ganias at the number 23. Psalm, P-S-A-L-M, the number 1, at protonmail.com. That's the number 23, then the word Psalm, number 1, at protonmail.com. And I will contact you as soon as possible.
Okay, now, that you've got an uphill battle, but if God is in this thing, he'll provide the means, won't he?
And amen. So, for God, for country, if it's the will of the Lord, it'll happen.
All right, very, very good. And one of the things I wanted to say this Sunday... When we showed this film, The Silent Cry in the Church, it's about the darker side of human trafficking. But we've been telling people, John, here for a long time, how The United States government is the world's largest purveyor of human trafficking and child sex. This film's got the documentation. It's all in there. And they've been collecting this for years now, okay? So they started collecting all this information more than 10 years ago, okay? And it's all there, and it shows you, and it also exposes Epstein, but it shows you how the elite, how the liberal elite, how they're involved in this human trafficking, how it goes right to the high places, and they've got NBC, ABC, CBS covering their tracks for them, okay? Mm-hmm. Supporting them. Now,
well, we know since the Biden administration started, 83,000 children have just literally disappeared, and they're admitting to that. Yeah. So the number is probably significantly higher.
Oh yeah, we're going to show.
They're just gone.
We're going to show this film again. The reason is Sunday you saw in church people stand up and said, "You really need to see this. Everybody needs to see this." Well, here we're going to be re-showing this film Sunday. From 3 to 5 in the church. And boy, I'm going to tell you, you need to be there and take notes on this, because this will be a good thing for you to run on. So folks, go ahead and give their website again.
My email, Aaron Ganias, my email address is the number 23, then the word Psalm, P-S-A-L-M, the number 1, at protonmail.com. So 23, Psalm 1, at protonmail.com. And this is to help circulate petitions for signatures to get my name on the ballot to battle and fight the good fight for God and country.
No,
we
got to
fight this corruption.
Our
country is at stake.
If you have an event, maybe a John Birch Society meeting or a Liberty Coalition meeting or whatever, if you could let him know about these meetings so he could be there and get his signature, if he can get those signatures, Aaron will stand. You're not going to let them...
I'm not going to sell out. That's one of the blessings of running as an independent. I'm not beholden to any lobbyists or money bags. And I'm going to vote the Bible and then what's consistent with the Constitution, regardless of the consequences.
There you go, folks. We live in a world of compromise, and here we've got someone who's willing to take a stand. Okay, I wanted to read this, John, real quick. Here.
2 minutes.
Texas AG Ken Paston explains how Democrats stole the 2020 election. Now, in September 2023, Tucker Carlson sat down with Texas Attorney General Ken Paston. This was after the liberals like Karl Rove attempted to remove Paxton from office. Rove is a rhino. Karl Rove is a rhino. We've known that for a long time. And turned the Lone Star State over to the Democratic horde and their election fraud operation. Thankful Ken Paxton has just been acquitted of wrongdoing following a Senate trial on all the articles of impeachment. Texas rhinos, including Bush and Rove allies, wanted Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton gone, so they made up some accusations against him without any evidence in an attempt to impeach him. Attorney General Ken Paxton is the one man who has stood up against the Democrats' Marxist onslaught in the great state of Texas. Democrat and secret sleeper Republicans hate him for this. What do you say, John?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I was so glad that you mentioned that, because it's so important that he came out, a high official, and you know, of Texas, a very important state, and he laid it out, really, what we all know. So I don't know of any other politician on his level that has done that, but outside of Texas, I don't think there's been, you know, they're trying to suppress it.
Hang tight, John. We're going to come up to a break, and when we come back on the other side, we're going to pick this up on the other side of the break and talk about it, so... we'll be back right after this.